How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Power Hour here on a Monday in the G-Bag Nation. Great to have you in as we are now under 60 minutes to USA and Belgium with our guy Balogun back on the pitch as we're ready to party. What's up, Broadus?
With you, Lucius, and I here left, would you like to go into, like, treat it like the Cowboy pregame show where you give, like, a, hey, this is where the rubber meets the road, or... Like this is
oh, we need a theme for tonight's game.
Yeah, you need a theme. Have you thought about
it? The game mantra? I have not thought about it.
Usually coming up with the, like, this is the holy war.
Yeah.
This is, he's coming up with some.
You had the Old Testament game. Versus Mahomes and company last year. Yeah, you have the take out the trash game.
Sometimes when
you're playing the Jets or the Giants, it's just a... Take out the trash. Sometimes it's a handle business game.
Could it be like
It's a shock the world game.
How about like don't waste the opportunity game?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should get the Tolo's feedback on this.
Yeah.
877-881-1053.
And then go ahead and ask everybody what they're cooking out tonight. You're really good about doing that.
We can get the meat church menu of the night cooked up as well.
Exactly.
So send us in your spreads and send us in what you think the mantra should be for Team USA tonight. Versus Belgium, as I believe this is going to be like one of those games where the rest of the world, it's like maybe it's us against the world game.
They already hate us, right?
I mean,
the world pretty much hates us.
They certainly do now.
Yeah,
us against the world. I think it's a little bit cliche, but I think that plays. Yeah. I think that plays a little bit. So we'll get a little bit more into the matchup.
My man Austin said the mantra should be cleats up. Cleats up.
Cleats up. Yeah. Okay, Austin. I like that. I like that as a nominee. We'll get more into the World Cup action here coming up here in just a few minutes. But right now, we go ahead and cut the lights out. We put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Broadus hits the rain dance as Wolchuk has boogied on over to Cosm for tonight's USA game. And it's a special occasion when you get the biggest laughing stock in a sport to find a microphone and explain himself. And that's what took place in Boston today with the Celtics on the heels of their trade with the Sixers to send Jaylen Brown over there and get Paul George, maybe the worst contract in basketball, even though Stevens is telling you, I guess he feels like the Jaylen Brown contract is even worse than Paul George's. So let's go ahead and hear from him because some of the quotes are fantastic. One of them is, and again, this is Brad Stevens, who has been in the upper echelon of most respected league executives in the sport for many years now. Like, this is not a...
He lost his way on this one?
This is not a...
Was he out of the office when they were doing this?
Yeah, I mean, no, because he's at the mic explaining himself, so he is not a guy who's perpetually being made fun of or having people disagree with him or things like that with the moves that he's made, but he did note, quote, it's obviously unpopular, and most people think it will be wrong. So he does have some level of self-awareness here. He says it was a really hard call. I'm not saying it's the right call, but we wanted to stay good and increase our optionality, is the way he put it. And one of the things he said here, and the big reason it seems why they wanted to move on from him, Brad Stevens of the Celtics on trading Jaylen Brown, he says, quote, when I looked at our team and where the league was heading, the path looked a little bit more challenging to me with 70% of our cap and such a high usage in two players. Okay, so that's been one of the big things that people have talked about is just the contract for Jaylen Brown and how it was still three more years at basically $60 million a year. So that's a fat contract. You're already paying Tatum, and with all the constraints now that the NBA has put in place with the new CBA, it's very challenging to build a roster. It's not like, hey, let's just get two or three big salary players, superstars, and we can go microwave a championship. It's a little bit different now. The super team era, the league kind of wanted to move on from and create some more parity. So it's hard to maintain a high-level team when two of your players are making as much as Tatum and Brown were for the Celtics. But the funny part about it is Paul George
makes even more.
He's making... It's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
The only difference is the one extra year for Jaylen Brown. It's a three. He's still got three more years, whereas Paul George has two more years left on his deal. But they're both over $50 million. Like, you're paying him over $100 million over the course of the next 2 years. So it was all about just having one less year, because you're taking on a contract that for the next 2 years is going to kind of weigh you down the same way Brown was.
Right.
Except you're not getting as much production. That's for sure. Now, the usage and the way that it all, like Paul George and Jaylen Brown, two totally different players at this stage in their careers. And so Paul George on the floor won't be asked to do all the different things that Jaylen Brown was trying to do there. And it's clearly Tatum's team now. But that's basically what it comes down to. And he's being, you know, that's something that Celtics fans probably want to criticize quite a bit, so I give them credit for saying it, because it's like this is a financial decision. The weird part for me, if I'm a Celtics fan, is like, okay, but why did you take on a contract that for the next 2 years is going to be just as much of a problem as Jaylen Brown's is, except you're taking on a guy who's much older and misses games at a rapid rate in Paul George. So that's the explanation from Brad Stevens today. You did get Jaylen Brown, of course, on his stream, and he was talking through post-trade kind of what was going through his mind there a little bit. And one of the things that he addressed was, and we had mentioned this last week, where Colin Cowherd had the anonymous executives talking to him about Brown and calling his, his personality the type of guy that just is always the smartest guy in the room.
Sure.
They called it a disease of some sort. So
I had
pretty disparaging.
I asked two guys that I know well in the league, and I asked them about, because the word was coming down that maybe the Mavs were going to trade for Brown. And I said, is this a possibility? And he goes, listen, my one guy goes, this guy is a problem for the Celtics. He said this is a Jaylen Brown problem for them. So when I heard that, and then other people have kind of come out and said kind of the same thing. I wonder if it was one of those things where the Celtics looked at it as, you know what, we will move on regardless. We will take on a bad contract. We just can't. There are things that happen with teams, and we look at the money and we look at the players and we look at this, but there's things that teams go through that absolutely they look for any kind of relief. Like they're just looking for, hey, okay, what we understand, we're going to take the player, we're going to get the picks. You know, I don't think it's about the player and the contracts. I do think it's about the picks. But more importantly, I think it's about the Celtics front office just moving on from a guy they didn't want around anymore. And they were willing to take on a bad contract with the caveat of, okay, we'll take the picks behind it and see what we can do.
Yeah. Well, here was Jaylen Brown on his stream addressing that report about him feeling like he's always the smartest guy in the room. I think this is a bar.
Hear me out. You know what I mean? Like, I get the whole intelligence thing. Like, personally, I think intelligence is like relative. Like, you know, there's different forms of what intelligence looks like: creative, divergence. There's like being able to adapt. Intelligence is to adapt to change. There's so many different forms of intelligence. Whatever you value is whatever you value. I never told anybody, like, look, I'm the smartest person in the room. That may be how they took it, but let's keep it a buck. Like, the in sports. No offense to everybody in sports, but the bar is fucking low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the bar isn't that high. So I think that's what people need to take into consideration. It's like, okay, he's one of the smartest athletes, but like a lot of the athletes and like, you know what I mean? How high is the bar really? You know what I mean? No, and that's no diss. We got a lot of smart athletes.
Yeah.
Not really.
He might be the smartest dude in the room. Yeah. He might feel that way. Yeah. He might feel that way, bro.
He might look around sitting in his own
that
locker.
It has more to
yeah.
do with the room than it does him, it sounds yeah. like. Yeah. Just kind of just the
he's
rest,
the smartest
rest of the
guy.
Players.
He's the smartest guy or, among a bunch of guys that aren't very smart. Yeah.
That's kind of yeah. the way that he is yeah. he is framing it here. Yeah. But, yeah, that was pretty incredible from Jaylen Brown. And with the Celtics now trying to pick up the pieces, I need to go back and just listen to some of the Boston crash outs on the radio. You would have mm-hmm. to imagine, right? On the heels of that trade going down, Boston radio must have just been yeah. like, if you want to drink some tears with callers and hosts just totally losing their minds, yeah. I would imagine that would be something that would be quite entertaining.
There's so many things that we don't know. We just don't know. I say that. Our job is to try and understand and make sense of things, but there are things that they come up with reasons to move on or do something different. And then they get together and you talk about, okay, how are we going to spin this? How are we going to, what's our line, our company line going to be on this one? And, you know, like I said, they make decisions where like the fan base goes, what the hell, what are you doing? But in reality, they're like, you know what? We know this is probably not the right thing to do, but we're going to do it because we feel like we have to do it this way. So I've been in those rooms, man. I've been in those rooms where you make a bad decision, you know, or you know it's a bad decision, but you just want to get away from you know what you're dealing with just to do something else.
Yeah.
So
it happens.
And I could see the fan base getting mad, like, what are you doing? And then the team is actually sitting around a room going, all right, man, that's over. We're going to have to deal with this for a few weeks, maybe a couple weeks, and then it'll all go away.
Yeah, I mean, I would be able to stomach it more if I was a Celtics fan if the Paul George contract was just an expiring deal. So you're like, okay, we're taking on one bad year of George.
That just shows you how much they wanted to move away from Brown.
Yeah, and that, it also that shows you how there was you. Just nothing across the league in terms of other teams wanting. Well, like, yeah. think about how desperate you are to move on from somebody.
Yeah.
When you're willing to keep
You'll
him
take
in
anything.
Your division.
You'll take
keep
anything.
Keep him in your division.
Yes.
Take on still yes. an awful contract. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the team that just bounced you out of the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. You are desperate to get off that guy. That is just crazy.
And you're willing to make a bad deal
and look like an idiot for at least the interim.
Yeah, and you'll have the egg on your face for making the deal, but you know what? You could sleep at night now because they feel like they've moved on from the guy they needed to move on from.
Well, today is the official start of the new NBA league year, so you're getting everything becoming official, all the trades. Giannis yeah. now officially with Miami. It looks like Milwaukee's going to be retiring his jersey number 34. Makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. And now that he's with Miami started – they unveiled all the Giannis jerseys on their website. Yeah. People have been buying them. And then over the course of the last few hours, and they were selling the jersey number 34 because that's his number. But now Giannis is deciding, even after probably
yeah.
quite a few jerseys have been sold throughout the day,
he's changing numbers.
He wants to be number 7. So I don't know. Miami's going to have to figure out how to remedy that situation, where I would imagine they've had plenty of fans hop on the website today and buy their first Giannis Miami jersey, but it was number 34, and now he's saying, no, I want to be number 7.
Can we change him out? Do we have a refund policy? Like, if you bought a 34 Giannis jersey, we'll give you the number 7. We'll swap it out. How about that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We do that?
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be good.
Maybe
that'd
end up with
good.
Two jerseys.
Yeah.
You get the 34 and the 7.
Yeah.
I don't know how that all works, but you did have Giannis. Apparently, he's doing the streaming thing where he's buddying up with that Neon fella who does the streams, and they were reading through different things on their phone and they were saying in real time, like, oh my gosh, LeBron is signing with Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And they tell that to Giannis, and Giannis is like freaking out, like, wait, is this real? Is this real? Yeah. And then they realize, no, it was a ball sack. Mm-hmm. And Giannis is like so relieved. He's like, dude, touch my heart right now. Don't do that to me. You're going to give me a heart attack because Giannis wants LeBron so bad to join the Heat. Okay. And now you have Brian Windhorst when it comes to LeBron saying that everybody he's talked to in terms of the teams that are kind of involved and think they have a chance at LeBron, all those teams, you know, you're talking about the Warriors, you're talking about the Heat, you're talking about the Sixers, the Nuggets, they're all saying, like, we're afraid that it's Cleveland. Nobody seems like they really have any optimism right now. Of all the teams that are holding out some hope that LeBron will choose them, nobody's very confident that they're going to be chosen. And they've all sort of given a pitch to LeBron, and then it's been sort of radio silent on the other end where LeBron's not really talking to anybody. So they kind of like gave whatever their pitch was to say, hey, why should you join us? And then they just haven't heard from him. So everybody's thinking that he's just going to stay in Cleveland. And ultimately, I would, if I was guessing, I would think it would end up being Cleveland. You know, they're at least a good enough team to where you can sell the idea that we can compete here. It's not like they're just an awful team. I don't know that the basketball fit is ideal with Donovan Mitchell and with James Harden and LeBron having to really work defensively if those some of the guys you're playing with.
I'm going to, you know, I know people are talking about Cleveland and all that. I will double down on this. I think he's going to end up with a team that's got the ability to play golf around him, like where he can go and continue to play golf and do things.
Don't you think that's pretty much all of these cities? Like, he likes golfing in Cleveland, the Firestone or other country club.
Yeah, but you got to think about like the year round stuff. Like there's places he could go play where he could, like, Ohio.
If that's all it's about, that it's going to be Miami or Golden State.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be a place where he can, like, show up on his off days or when they have off days or when they don't make him practice or he doesn't have to travel. He's going to go be around golf. He is such an avid golfer now. He's got the bug. He's got the absolute bug when it – I'll tell you what. How about our guy out there in Golden State, Curry? Curry, a big golfer. You know, that's how I would recruit LeBron.
And we've seen how Curry and LeBron were during the Olympics.
Yeah,
they were showing out together, bro.
See, that's where I mean,
LeBron said playing with Steph Curry is perfect. The word that he used. See, but all the Warriors reports are saying like the Warriors have no optimism right now that they're going to end up getting LeBron.
I would recruit, and I can say I think that Curry. Curry gets Jordan out on the golf course and sells him for 4 hours. Some of the greatest business deals ever made in the world have been on a golf course. And I think Curry goes out there and tells him, like, hey, you know, man, your golf game's holding up good here, man. You're getting better at this. Yeah, you know, but then talk to him about for 4 hours the advantages of playing for Golden State, you know. And that's where I think that's where he needs to kind of sell. I feel like he's going to end up in a place where he could go play golf as he plays basketball.
I mean, it would be interesting. Just does he have the stomach for sort of spurning Cleveland one last time?
He won a championship with Cleveland.
He did. And so ultimately, he's beloved there no matter what.
He doesn't have to go back to Cleveland. He doesn't owe Cleveland anything.
I don't necessarily think he does either.
Yeah.
But maybe if he's going to stretch this out longer, and Rich Paul is indicating that this is not a decision that's going to be taking place in the next couple of days, the longer it goes with him not making a decision, I would kind of start to think maybe he's choosing a different team. I would still bet on Cleveland right now, but the longer it goes, because then he can say, man, I wrestled with this so hard, such a difficult decision for me, but I'm not going to Cleveland. I'm going to go to Golden State or wherever he ends up.
I think somebody's going to go in there and sell. He's a guy that likes his ass kissed. You know what I'm saying? So you got to go in there and sell him. You got to go coddle him. You got to make him feel loved. Yeah, go get him out there. Like, you bring him in, go get him on one of these major golf courses he's never played or something like that. You know? Heck, he loaded up all his buddies, paid for everything. Where'd they go? Went to Scotland to play golf.
On a darn helicopter.
On helicopters and
Kobe's
stuff.
Kobe's just looking down like, come on, fam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a...
But he took,
put all the all-stars on one helicopter.
Yeah, he took they had four different ones that they took these guys.
I didn't know they were doing the choppers like
that. Oh no, that's how they went from place to place. But he took his all these guys. It's not like, hey, let's go to some warm weather Mexican Caribbean town or city or whatever and just hang out. They went and loaded up their sweaters and went and played golf in Scotland.
Yeah.
So there's, I think that's how you try and sell him on your plan. To be honest with you, that's how I'd recruit him.
All right, 877-881-1053. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's get you set for Team USA next.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here on The Fan. All right, just over 30 minutes to USA Belgium here, and a trip to the quarterfinals on the line. Is this the biggest game in Team USA history? Many say it is. 877-881-1053. Segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, go ahead and call the Frankels first. 214-333-3333. And now it is time for this.
You're rolling with the News Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Just anecdotal on my part, but have you guys been surprised at the lack of fan fight videos in the stadium for the World Cup? I was assuming, like, when it's football season, it's a weekly tradition. You know there's going to be viral fight videos between a Niners fan and a Raiders fan. We haven't seen any of that, have we? Has anybody's algorithm given them videos of different countries'
nope.
fans?
Haven't seen it at all. Not even like outside of an area.
Yeah. And you know the passion. And like, this is everything. Each game is like each country's Super Bowl. And we simply haven't seen it. And I'm not saying that I wish that we were getting this. I'm just simply surprised that with all the passion and fanfare, you haven't seen two different countries' fan bases get into some type of brawl on a concourse. Just hasn't happened yet. So I think just everybody's vibing so hard, it's loving the American life. They don't want to get locked up in America. They want to enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, I know, and maybe some people out there have gone to some matches and stuff, but usually when you go to matches, say, overseas, they let the visitors in. You never interact with the, or you never cross. So like,
no stream crossing.
Yeah, but there's a specific area that those fans have to sit. So that's how they kind of police it. But it looks like they're fans all over the stadium.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody's commingling, and just after the match, you just kind of, if you lose, You just kind of walk out and
take
go
your
home.
L and
yeah,
go
you,
home like a respectful
home.
Man.
Yeah,
they're too full on trans fats. All this American food out here.
Slowing them down.
They got food comas. They can't fight.
Nobody wants to fight because they got a bunch of ribs in them. Yeah.
I would love to see one of these Euros giving us like a weight journey. Like, I spent 4 weeks in America.
How much FIFA 15.
And the FIFA 15. I like that. Yeah, we need to get some stories like that. So a couple of the stories that have come out, all right. Did you guys see that with Azteca Stadium being over 7,000 feet above sea level, England players were allowed to use Viagra to help deal with Mexico's altitude?
I didn't know that was, what is it? What's in Viagra that helps you with the altitude?
I guess it can reduce fatigue related to physical exertion at high altitude.
Okay.
So this was not
something. It'd be great for your heart, right? I mean, these guys are in such great shape anyway, so it wouldn't cause any heart problems, right? Racing hearts and
well, I
stuff
guess
like
not.
That?
I mean, it worked out for them last night. I mean, they were clearly the ones with the stamina late in that game that went super, super long.
Yeah.
And it was a heck of a game last night.
That was a good game.
A little bit back and forth, but England was able to close it down with only you know, with only 10 guys on the field, and Mexico just simply couldn't punch it in.
Right.
But yeah, a little pregame Viagra. That's
I wonder who figured that one out.
Only Chad Johnson.
I've heard
Johnson.
Like baseball players doing that. Yeah, Chad Johnson too. Cardio. You're running. I think it helps with that. I'm not fully sure.
Just the blood's flowing better throughout your body.
So we figured that out when we go play the Broncos. Now we're gonna like go and use Viagra to.
Maybe.
Handle like we got pickle juice for heat.
Those
we
football
got,
players don't need that. Their pants are too tight already, bro. I'm already looking at my old lady every time they do a little close-in shot. I'm like, what are you looking at?
What are you doing?
Who's number 34?
Yeah, what are you doing?
You think women,
up, man.
You think women appreciate...
Yeah, this is just a soccer only, I think.
Do women appreciate the, I wonder, appreciate the baseball pants or the football pants?
They like them both.
If they had to choose.
They like them both,
from your
bro.
Experience, Lucius, Lucius, give us an opportunity.
Yeah.
Lucius, you have an athlete in your life.
I'm going back down to the boom, boom, boom. I'm watching this game by myself. You're ruining this game for me.
Yeah, I think traditionally it was always the baseball pants, but I don't know. The football pants seem to get tighter and tighter, and now they're not wearing pads in them either to sort of distort things. These guys are just throwing the pants on with no pads in the legs or anything.
Yeah.
But
see a
yeah.
whole helmet down there. You're like, come on, fam. Come on, bro. What's
up, no? Is that guy wearing a Guardian cap down there? Dear God, bro. Is he protecting himself or the other people?
Come on, bro.
But there's no high sticking in soccer. So it's something that I think they were able to get away with a little bit. Now, you also have the other story that's pretty incredible here. Did you see the soccer fan who vanished while traveling to the World Cup and his family could not find him? He's an older gentleman.
Uh-oh. Silver alert.
This is an incredible story. It's an England soccer fan.
Uh-oh.
He vanished while traveling to the U.S. for the World Cup. He was found safe in Spain, quote, blissfully unaware of his family's anguished search for him. Okay, this guy is 65 years old. He last spoke with his family in Barcelona on June 21st, one day after the diehard Leeds United fan jetted out of the UK. So he had a layover in Spain. Well, he's getting set to fly from Spain to Boston to go watch England play Ghana, but he lost his phone, which contained all of his travel tickets and everything.
So he had to stay.
So he became stuck in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And his brother Gary says, quote, he lost his phone soon after arriving in Barcelona and didn't know any of the phone numbers stored in his phone. Like he obviously you don't remember phone numbers these days. So he doesn't have his phone and he didn't think to go to the embassy as he still had his passport and money. So he just, I guess, didn't think they'd be interested in him. So they're saying he didn't have access to the internet. He was blissfully unaware that his family was desperately searching for him. Instead, he just got on with enjoying Barcelona, watching the England matches in the bars. So they found him. His family last saw Facebook photos of him at a bar in the European city before he lost contact.
Or consciousness, which one?
Yeah. So it was 10 days where they have no idea where their senior citizen family member is. And he was just hammered at a bar watching the soccer. He's like, I'm just going to park it here in Barcelona. Yeah. And
so my money runs out.
Yeah, I guess so. So
was he going to stay?
What an absolute legend.
Was he just going to stay in Barcelona?
I don't know. This guy didn't seem like he had much of a plan. It was just like, okay, I got to call an audible. I'm not going to be able to reach out to any of my family members. He doesn't have his phone. He's in a foreign city, but he's got some cash on him.
Yeah.
So just get you a hotel, watch some soccer, drink some beers, and wait for somebody to come rescue you.
In my wallet, I carry my most important phone numbers written down.
Look at that. You have a sticky note with five or six phone numbers on there?
I have all the phone numbers that I need of important people in my life.
Good for you.
Written down that I have in my wallet in case I ever can't remember a number. Like if I was in Barcelona, I would be able to get on a phone and call somebody and tell them I'm okay.
There you go, man. So you're prepared.
I've always done that.
Yeah, losing the phone. Well, would you rather lose your phone or your wallet?
Phone.
Yeah.
Phone.
I initially think phone, But
I feel like you go phone, man. It's so hard to get your social security card back and your ID, your driver's license.
Cancel all your cards.
Retake the test sometimes if it's too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you get an appointment to even get that to happen?
Right.
It's crazy, bro.
And everything you have on auto pay that now you're trying to figure out, wait, what did I have on auto pay? I'm going to have to get a new card. It's happened to me before where you just forget, and then all of a sudden the insurance people are calling you 2 months later like, hey, we haven't received a payment from you. And
I would rather,
we're about to cut your services here.
I would much rather lose my phone than my wallet. At least with your wallet, you got all your credit cards, you got your ID.
Well, a lot of people have them saved into their phone now.
Yeah, well,
right. With you know, you're doing
do both
tap yeah. or whatever.
But if you, as long as you have your ID and your credit card, you could get on a plane, or you could go somewhere. You could go. Or I could go check into a hotel and make a call or something like that. You know what I'm saying? There's like you could.
Yeah, you can get by.
You can get by without the phone.
But no ID, especially if you're lost like in another country, no ID.
Yeah, you lose your wallet and you lose your ID, you're cooked.
Yeah, you are. You are pretty dang cooked here. Yeah. And let's hope that Belgium's cooked tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big match.
They've won 7 of the last 8. The last time the United States beat them was when the World Cup started in 1930. Won 3-0.
Is that right?
That's the last time the U.S. 1930 was the last time.
So we're due.
We're due. It's been a long time. But
okay.
We're due. 1930 was the last time that United States beat Belgium.
You were teeing up the Tolos to give us the mantra for the game tonight.
Yeah, what
right?
do you got?
So let's see. We have 972 take care of business game.
Okay, like it.
We have the grand shift on the pitch. The 214. The pivot. The another 214 silence the critics game.
Okay,
the,
I like that the, one.
The,
I like that
the
one.
Reckoning game.
Reckoning game. Okay.
Let's see here. U.S. versus the world. Prove the world wrong game. Let's see. We have the get bleep done game. The seize the moment game. The Watergate game. These are all the mantras from the Tolos tonight. And it looks like everybody is saying the wallet. Everybody would rather lose their wallet.
Man.
You get everything saved onto your phone, and with the
maybe it's just being an older dude.
Digital credit cards.
Got them all. I got everything in my back pocket.
It's a nightmare either way. But that 65-year-old guy just did it right. He's like, "Listen, man, I'm not going to freak out and stress about this. I'm in a different country anyway. So let's just soak it
well,
in
he knew
here."
Where he was. He
knew where he was.
He just wasn't
sure if he was ever going to get back to where
he was. He just didn't
want to
tell anybody where he was. That's the whole thing. He just didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, it was probably the
they
best.
They was wearing him out the whole time.
It was the best 10 days of his entire life.
It's kind of like Lucius. I'm going to close the door and don't talk to me for a while.
All right, let's go ahead and crosstalk with the Fan After Dark next right here.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Okay, the last 3 times I've seen Fred Davis, he's been wearing the USA 250 years t-shirt. Has he washed it? We find out now.
Not, I did wash it after Paraguay, but I did not wash it after, who'd we just beat last
Bosnia.
Week? We did not do it after Bosnia-Herzegovina. I was wearing this in solidarity with Balogun.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he washed his either. Didn't look like he was going to need to. We just got the news last night, you know, and I can't do that kind of wash that quick of a turnaround.
He's back.
My shirt
boys.
Is also in solidarity with Balogun.
Let's go.
Free Young Thug. It's free Balogun. Right. And
free
both
Balogun.
Have been freed. So,
right.
We're supporting Balogun. We're supporting Team USA today. We're going to go get a dub in 13 minutes.
Yeah. How do you guys juggle it? Have you guys done the show?
Yeah.
With
remember
the,
last
we were,
one.
We were
Wednesday.
On last week
oh, that's
during,
right, that's
during
right.
Bosnia. And everybody was complaining that nobody showed up at Sidecar Social.
Yeah, we did hear only like 5 people showed up.
Now, not to say you guys showed up.
I was there.
I mean, you were there. Wooly Bully was there. But
nobody
other
from
shows.
KNC.
Yeah.
Nobody from the morning.
I told people
you said,
I
no, we knew,
I
we knew,
told people
you,
I was
you made it very clear in the group text you weren't going to be there.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't want to be
folks that.
you know, gave a verbal.
Yep.
And then backed out.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Gave pulled a hamstring.
And then backed out.
Poor Willie C. was probably asking for a table of 20 to 30, and five people showed up.
I heard the service was kind of spotty, though.
Well, it was as packed as any place I can remember being at.
Well,
it was, it was insane how many people were there to watch that game.
Well, that's what Sweet Willie C. said. He did say that it wasn't the young lady's fault that, you know, and I guess they, y'all ordered like spinach and artichoke dip that took like an hour to get there, and she was given the, you know, Jordan shrug, like, where are we at?
Yeah.
With the chips and the artichoke dip.
It wasn't like a look at me confident one either. It was a my head is spinning shrug, and I just want to go home now. What the waitress was feeling the other night. But how are we feeling about tonight's game, boys?
I'm geeked.
You're geeked?
Monday Night Football, man. Monday Night Football, so we should get another dub tonight. It's not a great Belgium team. I will say my confidence is lower after Balogun's suspension was suspended, revoked.
Lifted?
Because I just feel like this is going to be a galvanizing moment for that Belgium team. This is going to be this. They got some bulletin board material. I still think USA is going to win.
Galvanizing moment for us.
I
think it will, and I still have USA winning. I just feel like they were already the better team with or without Balogun. And now this is giving you something for Belgium. We went from the one of the darlings of the tournament to a lot of people are calling us villains, whether it's right or wrong. A lot of other countries.
Oh, yeah, targets on the back now.
So I'm just saying now there's a lot more pressure, and Balogun's going to have to perform, or even if he does perform well, there's an asterisk next to it for this game. Obviously, Americans, we disagree. I think it was a bad red card. I'm just saying what's out there. A little bit more pressure.
I'm actually blown away at all the American criticism on this. A lot of think pieces on how this is corrupt and cheating and
well, didn't we already think FIFA was corrupt before?
100%.
It's not 100%. It is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's still dead bodies in Qatar from all the stadiums they had to build.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're over here getting We've made it to the big dogs.
We're getting the corruption
now. This
is
what we do.
We've made it to the big dogs. This is what the Argentinas and the Spains, they get this. They get this.
We've made it basketball. I mean, no one would bat an eye.
Not when this tournament is going to generate over $12 billion for them.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's every year you could go through and just, you know, what goes on there in Switzerland, where they're located. There's so much corruption and vote. They don't care.
They don't care.
They will just come in and they will say, well, hey, we want to do it this way. And if you don't do it this way, we're not going to let you host these matches. And, you know, you've seen the response across Mexico, across Canada, here in the United States.
France, they've burned it down like twice since the World Cup has started.
Well, and I don't know, and I heard this today or yesterday, I can't remember, that apparently they pulled this Article 27 on three other players going into this tournament.
Yes.
Ronaldo
included.
Well, not even Ronaldo. That's excluding Ronaldo. So there were three other players in this tournament that they went ahead and waived the red card so that they could play in the group stage.
He already missed half the game. New to soccer, but I hate that you missed that game and the following game. If it's something egregious and the guy's out there punching dudes.
Is this a targeting penalty for crying out loud? My God.
He's out for that game. Cool. He missed half the game of the Bosnia
game.
Yeah. If anything, it should lead them to, we could have reviews. And it needs to be quicker. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be like a
next day turnaround.
Not let it drag out 5 days and then figure it out.
Know what grounds? I'm with the thought process, but do we ever figure out what grounds the suspension was revoked or upheld on? Because they never really came out and said this is why.
FIFA, they don't need to.
We're not.
They don't have
the suspension.
To.
It's Article 27 is a catch-all.
Article
27.
They're opening up Pandora's box for other players to be like, well, we got a red card. Why isn't ours done to X, Y, and Z and not be held out the next game? So I just think it's opening Pandora's box. I mean, it benefited USA, but if I'm FIFA as an integrity, you would think they'd be able to.
Now you're talking oxymoronic over there.
No, the I in FIFA stands for integrity. Everybody knows that. How many hot dogs did you guys consume this weekend?
Zero.
Who had the most?
Zero.
Zero. Zero dogs? No brought us any? No glizzies?
No dogs.
Zero
Lucius,
dogs.
Did you? No glizzies?
I had two with some regular Lay's.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Thank you. Are you kidding me?
It was kind of burnt up, too. They were really good.
You got to have the char, man.
We're real, man. We eat big weenies. We eat brats.
Okay. I was brotting it up as well.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
I probably had Gosh, I probably had 8 or 9 burger patties over the weekend, too. I mean,
of course you did.
Easily.
All at one time.
Yeah. On Friday, I probably had 5. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, I had 2. And yesterday, I think I had 1. So we were putting up some numbers. But
love that.
Yeah, the brats were dominant overall. Did you guys party it up? What'd you do?
I was working, but I got to party on Saturday.
I didn't do a whole lot, really. Radio and work. That's it.
Wow, boy.
You guys did a great job filling in for us. Appreciate you on Friday, man.
We had a lot of fun on Friday.
Thank you,
we really did.
You and Eric did a great job.
4:30 to midnight day. So there was no partying. I was got here at 4:30 or woke up at 4:30, excuse me, and then get home till midnight. So there was no
partying. How does early morning radio work for you? Is that a good thing for you or a bad thing?
Seems like you and CA are getting along just fine.
At the end of the day, it's just radio. Just show up, do your job.
A lot of kumbaya going on in that show.
There's a lot of agreements.
Usually when me and CA are on, we get some breaking news in DFW. We didn't get any, but it was still a fun show nonetheless.
Well, what's coming up on the show tonight?
Basketball arguments?
No basketball arguments.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody knew this or not, but USA Soccer's playing tonight here in about 10, 11 minutes. In fact, I want to say we got the
anthems going off.
Is it Belgiumese? What do you call it? What's a Belgian person considered? A Belgian?
Belgian.
A Belgian.
Belgian.
Okay. So
we got like the waffle.
We've got the Belgian national anthem going on.
Saw a great sign. This is our Waffle House.
That's exactly what it is. Are we now? Okay, we don't know yet. We don't know if we're rocking the red and
whites. Blue. Nope, we're wearing blue.
We're wearing the blues
we're
today.
We're wearing the blue with a home team.
Oh.
Who do y'all have scoring for USA? I made those
Balogun.
Balogun for sure. He's my anytime. I do think Pulisic needs to.
Oh, he's got to do
put
something.
His fingerprints
seriously
on this game.
Yes,
100% he does.
I think my boy Freeman gets another goal tonight too.
Freeman, Tillman, yeah. One of those guys. Yeah. Watch one of those guys.
Freeman gets one. Balogun gets two. We win 3-2.
All right, there it is. Fan After Dark is coming up next. Thank you to Lucius, Broadus, Walchuk. I'm Eric Chiafalo. Go USA.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.